Standing Freedom.
Welcome to Standing Freedom. I'm Gigi Arnetta. Thank you to my first sponsor for Standing Freedom, Kimber Eastwood. Thanks for standing behind me. Check out her condos, Cedar Creek Condos in Idaho on Airbnb. What a fun place. If you're looking for a place to rest and relax, give it a look-see. Also, you can find out more about her films on social media, Kimber Eastwood. She is definitely part of the What's Good Hollywood movement. I want to give a shout out to Lou Falco, who runs Operation Initiative, helping out our troops all over the United States. Look him up on the internet. Check out Operation Initiative Lou Falco. See if there's ways you can help. He's doing a good thing. My first guest on the show is going to be Grant Rogers. He's going to talk about the book, The Fire Within, being in the military, the inspiration behind the book, and how it all came together. And then my dear friend and special guest, Kimber Eastwood, is going to talk about growing up in Hollywood, doing what's good in Hollywood, her perspective on the military, and some of her new ventures. So let's get started. My first guest, Grant Rogers, with his new book, The Fire Within. Grant, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thank you, Gigi. It's good to be on today.
Can you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your time in the armed forces?
I was born and raised in Louisiana. I come from Monroe, West Monroe area, and joined the Army at 17 and knew that I wanted to do something bigger in life. Didn't know that it was going to be that big, but I definitely wanted a new adventure. And part of me was running as well. My high school sweetheart had broken up with me. I wasn't playing baseball anymore, and I was just ready for something new. So I got an awesome journey and an even better story to share with the world, just as every veteran and service member do, and every human out there, in my opinion. So mine starts on 2007 at Fort Lewis, Washington. I had trained up to go to Iraq in 2009-2010. So we trained for a good two and a half years for that. Then after the Iraq war and going there, it was just boom, 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 one after another. I came back and went to Louisiana. I was at Fort Polk, Louisiana, deployed again to Afghanistan. First time in Afghanistan, definitely different terrain and fighting styles than in Iraq. And came back and hadn't had enough, so I reenlisted. I went to Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas, and I deployed again to Afghanistan. And so I came back after that, and you know, it was really just not burnout. My adrenaline was going, and once that adrenaline wore off, I realized that, hey, I've got some issues, and I need to kind of address them. And I tried in the past at Fort Polk, and I avoided it. I got upset from the medical care that it didn't fit the bill, if you will. It was just off, so it pushed me away. So I continued to, you know, Charlie Mike and in doing things and pushing forward, and hit a wall when I got to Fort Sam, and that's when a lot of this started to come out.
When did The Fire Within become The Fire Within? What instigated it? What got you to put this book together?
I was drinking a whole lot, and drinking so much I would pass out. And one night my mom had found me, and she found me in the upright position, hands across my chest, and she thought I was dead. And I had drank so much that night that I had blacked out, and she brought me home, and I woke up the next morning, and, you know, she's a little embarrassed, has no idea what's going on. She's upset, and she's having to remind me, and I was like, geez, mom doesn't know this side of me. And what I mean by that is the side of me that can maintain his composure, his military discipline, all of it, all the training, everything. And that kind of opened my heart up a little bit, and I didn't really know what was going on. So a day had passed, and my grandfather passed away in 2011. This is the same year. It was 2011. I'd come back and from Chaki Wardak province, Afghanistan. That was the main efforts there. Highlight that. And when in coming back, Gigi, it tore me up. And so I went to bed the night after, and he came to me in a dream, and he said, son, life isn't going to be easy. It's going to be okay. He worked at a paper mill, and I smelled his paper mill scent. And I woke up, and I thought it was some crazy, you know, voodoo stuff. I was like, what is going on right now? This is, stuff doesn't happen. he was a writer, and I had never really written before other than English papers in English class. And I got to thinking, and I said, well, I'm going to start writing. And I started writing some poetry and expressing my thoughts. It just naturally came out, and I was like, what is this? What is this? You know, I would start rhyming a lot, and what is this almost rhythm that I'm, rhythm of the beat, what am I creating here? I had ended up deploying again. I couldn't get enough, you know. It's I usually say I feel safer over there than I do here, and I don't know that that's necessarily true. It's just that it's more simple. You know, over there, you've just got to worry about, you know, eating, sleeping, showering, and, you know, whether or not you're going to live for tomorrow. But you kind of get used to it. I know that's kind of an odd thing to say, but your body, and then coming back to the States, doesn't get used to it. And I definitely learned that. And this coming back was a lot harder than going over.
I hear that a lot from people, that that's often the case.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's often the case because we tend to complicate things in the States from phones and everything. But I was getting out of therapy. I went to therapy in IOP, intensive outpatient at SAMHSA in San Antonio, Texas, and talked to a few people about a book project. And I called Matt Vance, and Matt had already written a book, and he was my team leader at Fort Lewis while we were stationed there. I said, Matt, I want you to hear this. And we got to talking, and I read it to him, and he goes, wow, that's really deep. What do you want to do with it? I want to write a book. And he goes, okay, well, I can help you with that. What are you thinking? I said, I think we're going to write a book. He goes, what do you mean exactly? You know, we, I said, I have an idea. And so I wanted to basically charge Matt with the information. And so we gathered information from multiple authors who told their story. And it's a collaborative piece, and there are a lot of people that submitted. There are a lot of people that couldn't do it but wanted to. They just weren't ready yet. You know, it just wasn't the right time for them, and that was okay. We started talking, and it took about 3 years to get it done, get it all together. It was crazy how it all came to fruition. But the book came out this year. It's Matt's second book, just the idea guy, and I co-authored it, so I've got a little bit of a emotional connection there, of course, science behind the method. And then Matt has got all the producing skills and takes basically my information and turns it into a really neat, cool product. And it's just our relationship and how we do things. It usually works out the best that way.
Give me 3 or 4 lines about the book that our listeners can have as a takeaway.
We're all in this fight together. We've all got the fire within. And that right person in your life just needs to spark it, and you need to get up and live your life to the fullest.
Can you tell me how your faith carried you through this?
Faith has been a big part of it all, and I've even gotten a little, I guess, angry at times, you know, but it always comes back around. You know, I was raised in a Christian home and speaking the gospel and being very, very open about that. Not so much as, you know, open in the public about it, but just with the family and spreading that love and going to church. And, you know, after you join the Army and or any other military entity, I kind of strayed from it, you know, but I do know that traveling and fighting and meeting new people and doing all these things, because I've held the faith and because others have held the faith in me, he's got a bigger plan for me. And he's got a bigger plan for all of us. And so doing that, it hasn't been easy, but it's made my faith, you know, stronger, because this is so powerful and this is so true and raw and life-changing. Definitely a wake-up call.
How do you hope to reach people with the book? What's your vision?
I see the book being a catalyst for a lot of unity, a lot of connection, and a lot of just motivation, just getting out there and saying, you know what, we understand what you're going through. We may not understand the event in which took place, but we understand what it's like to, you know, lay in bed for 12 hours or isolate yourself and just, or going into crowds and being antisocial or having social anxiety. And we've got to address those issues. We've got to just, you know, talk about it to say, hey, you know what, it's okay to keep fighting. It's okay to push forward and persevering. But it's also okay to take a knee, observe your next objective, and then just to continue mission. And in the military, we call that Charlie Mike. After you've sparked that fire within, you know, your body, we're all forged into a fire, whether it's sports or church or, you know, maybe even a work business group. We're all forged into something together as people. And instead of the drama or the he said, she said, just be real with the person and move forward and be happy and live your life. And I think that's the general consensus of the book, is to say that we can reach everyone by way of literature and or raw truthfulness.
And how do people get their hands on The Fire Within?
Yeah, so they can go to firewithin.online, and that's firewithin.online. And then they can also go to amazon.com, and we offer it both on Kindle and paperback at The Fire Within. Then, of course, we have a Facebook page, The Fire Within 22, and then Instagram as well, The Fire Within 22.
And if people want to reach out to you on social media, they can reach you on Facebook, right?
Yeah, they can reach out to us on Facebook, or they can email us at contact@thefirewithin.online. And all that information is on our website. You can go there and go to contact us, and it'll be there. And we're pretty easy to find, for sure.
Grant, thank you so much for joining me on Standing Freedom today.
Hey, thank you, Gigi, and we look forward to working together in the future.
And now my special guest, Kimber Eastwood. Kimber, thank you so much for being on Standing Freedom on the What's Good Hollywood segment.
Well, thanks, Gigi, for having me, and I'm really excited to expand on what's good in Hollywood.
So, Kimber, what was it like growing up as an Eastwood?
You know, I get that asked a lot. I get that asked, like, what, you know, what's it like having your dad as Clint Eastwood? It's just so hard because that's all I know. You know, I had a great childhood in LA, and it's, you know, of course, obviously, Los Angeles, Hollywood, it's not really what it was some time ago.
And your mom was in the business.
Yep. Yeah, my mom is retired from the business. She actually still does script reading.
She was a great influence in your background. She was a dancer too, right?
Yeah, my mom was born and raised in Pennsylvania, like the Scranton area there around, and had 9 siblings. And when she graduated high school, and her grandma gave her some money and packed her up and sent her to New York to study acting and dancing. She did a lot of off-Broadway productions. She also tried out twice for the Rockettes.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was great, great. And then she moved to California, to Hollywood, and just kind of met my dad, and she was with a dance troupe that did a lot of South Pacific dancing and all that kind of stuff. So met my dad, and then 4 years later, they had me, and I grew up in this business.
I know you love to dance. Did she encourage you to perform as a child?
Yep, yeah.
And she had that it, that passion for it.
She did. And that it started for me when I was 3 in dance classes, tap and ballet and jazz. And
talk about how you got into the business. What was the first thing you did?
Well, I studied for a long time. I studied acting for years and years and years. But I was also a single mom and raising my son, and kind of it was challenging to do both at that time. So I think that I really didn't fully commit to the acting as much as I loved it. And I love doing improv and comedy. And my look was never like that frumpy housewife, but yet I wasn't that Baywatch babe either. So I just seem to have such a hard time kind of finding where I fit in the acting world. So as much as I loved it, finally when my son graduated high school, I was like, you know, I need to find something different to do. Didn't know what that was going to be. I prayed and prayed, and it just kind of unfolded. Like, it just was like, oh my God, the light went on. I was always really good with art. Maybe I'll check out makeup. And before I knew it, I was enrolled. I went on and I found the first school. You know, I mean, I had no interest in hair and makeup at all. And, you know, when I was growing up, and I just found myself in school. Once I got into the makeup school, I just exceeded. Like, eyeliner was a breeze. I mean, everybody was always coming up to me wondering, like, how do you do that eyeliner? I don't know. It just was like, just knew how to draw a straight line. I don't know. And then what I did was, after I graduated my makeup classes, I was waitressing still at the same restaurant, and I had waited on some friends of mine that worked with Wheel of Fortune, and then he brought me down to check it out for a day, just kind of like see how everything worked there. And then about a year, I did some like little, I would work for free. Basically, I went on Craigslist and found little things or projects.
So you're in agreement with someone putting some time in, even if it has to be free for a while, just to kind of get in the mix, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you need to, it's not only just doing makeup. There's so much more, as you know, Gigi, that goes behind the scenes of being on set. It's not just going on and doing somebody's makeup and then you're done, you know. You need to know set etiquette. You go on, you do your actor, and you got to watch them all day. And you got to, you know, you cater to them. You got to make sure that they're not sweating, that they're not, you know, that lipstick isn't like up their chin and down their ear. And there's just so much more that goes into being on set than just doing makeup.
And so now in your career, you've moved into producing. So can you tell us just a little bit about your projects in that arena?
I love makeup. I do. I really do. I love the creative. I love enhancing women's beauty. But I wanted more creativity in Hollywood. You know, I just didn't want to be somebody that came in and did the makeup and then just kind of left. I kind of want more responsibility, more into the whole creative process of making a film. I've started out with some independent films. I did Rapture with a producing partner for a little while. That was just kind of a low-budget, faith-based film. I hooked up with a gentleman named Greg Robbins, and he had made a trailer where Heaven and Hell Collide, because he does a lot with the vets. I do a lot with the vets, St. Jude, and also like a lot of animal rescue and a lot of animal work as well. But I hooked up with this gentleman, Greg Robbins, and we did the trailer to that, to Where Heaven and Hell Collide. And he said, hey, do you want to come out and do True Calling? T-R-E-W. True is the name of the woman who has these visits from the I Am. I would call it faith-friendly.
And people can look for it on a website or social media?
TrueCalling.com.
And it's won a couple of awards.
We won the Utah Film Festival Award, and we also won the Buffalo International Film Festival.
And now you and Greg are embarking on a new project, right?
Miniseries for YouTube Red.
Called So-So?
So-So.
And it's kind of in hush-hush right now, right?
So-So is hush-hush.
That's all you can tell me, right? That's all I can know. And our audience can find you on social media, right? Facebook, Twitter, that kind of thing.
I don't tweet personally, but, you know, I do have an Instagram page. You know, it's you might hear crickets. Facebook mostly. I just kind of try to keep my life and my social networking kind of to a limit, and kind of limited just for my own personal, not only safety, but, you know, I'm just kind of a private person. The thing about keeping things like hush-hush and things like that is, being Clint Eastwood's daughter, and when people find out that you're an independent producer or a producer or an actor or a makeup artist, people automatically assume that, oh, well, if I send her my script, she's going to love it, and then she's going to want to fund it. Well, of course, everybody that writes a script loves their script. I mean, you know, and I get that. That's your baby, you know, but I produce, but I'm not a funding person. There's a difference between a producer, executive producers, and I'm not a person that goes out and looks for financing. I don't like it when people assume that I'm going to fund their films or I'm going to take their script to my dad.
So now in your career, your eyes are in possibility for directing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind directing. And, you know, I have to tell you, there's times when I do miss acting as well.
So I have to ask you, if someone came up to you and said, Kimber, we have a part for you, and it's funded, you would consider it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, across the board. Okay. Definitely. No doubt about it.
Right. And then same thing for directing, right?
Yeah.
And on that note, let's talk about your passion for property.
You really can't go wrong with property. I know that's like a cliche and people hear it all the time and people tell you all the time, but my husband, Sean Midkiff, and I, we invested in property in Idaho. So we have nightly rentals. It's a town called Lava Hot Springs, Idaho. It's just 400 people, but it is just such a neat little town. There's no stop signs, no stoplights. And so we bought a large 5,000 square foot empty building, and that has a duplex attached to it. And then my husband built an indoor Western mall, of course, because we want to stick with the Western theme. Because not only because my dad and the whole Western thing, but we are also Western gunslingers. Can I say that? Gunslingers? We're gun enthusiasts. You don't want to come to our house uninvited. So we love all that kind of thing. So I opened a little boutique. My husband's got a coffee business. We've got an arcade. We rent out some of our spaces. And then we also have... besides that duplex attached to that building, we have a fourplex and a duplex, and we rent them out nightly. Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, is stuffed with geothermal hot pots. I mean, it doesn't smell like sulfur, like rotten eggs. It is just the minerals. My hair, when I get out of there, feels so soft and silky, and it's just rejuvenating your skin. And not only that, but they have this huge Olympic-sized swimming pool that's great for the kids in the summertime, 9-hole golf course. The beginning of February, they have a whole fire and ice thing where, you know, they have fire dancing. They've got chili cook-offs. They've got wine tasting. People ski down the mountain with fire torches. They do like a polar bear run where people run down the middle of town with their bathing suits and flip-flops on in the middle of February. They've got zip lining. You're 20 minutes to Pebble Creek Ski Resort. Jackson Hole, Wyoming's an hour and a half away. Yellowstone's 2.5 hours away. So it's a huge destination for people coming through, not only for summer, but winter is really picking up too. So,
and your condos are where?
Cedar Creek Condos in Lava Hot Springs, Idaho. Mm-hmm.
And how do our listeners find one of your Airbnbs?
Cedar Creek Condos on Airbnb, and it's Kimber and Sean Midkiff.
So tell me about your time with the USO.
I was a celebrity spokesperson for the USO back in the mid-90s.
And tell our listeners just a little bit about what you do with the military.
Well, I try to do whatever I can to support our troops, whether that's sending packages overseas to our troops. I've done a lot of that. And then just kind of going to military bases and entertaining the troops or just saying hi. Now, when I was on the USO tour, we went to the veterans' home. And they asked me if I wanted to go to the cancer ward because it would be, you know, they were like, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. But I said, no, absolutely not. Let's go to the cancer ward. It was really life-changing. And I'm going to try to talk about this particular one without welling up with tears. But there was, and I have the picture with him. He was a little old man. And he was all hooked up to, you know, the machines. And he walked with them through the halls. And he was so depressed because his family had put him in the home that he didn't talk much. And so they said, hey, would you like to speak with so-and-so? I mean, we're going back, you know, 20 years, so I don't recall the gentleman's name. But he was just so cute and so sweet. And we just kind of had this, like, conversation, you know, just kind of chit-chatted about really not really thinking important. But when I was done, the doctor said that was the most he had spoken in the time that he had been there. I do like to support our men and women that serve our country because I really believe that it's a great country. I don't care what your political views are. We have the freedom to do what we want to do because these people give up their lives and for our lives and their families sacrifice a lot for what we have in this country. Are there some things wrong with it? Well, of course, but you know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. These people that are just so disrespectful to the flag and to the national anthem and to our country. I mean, try doing that in another country. And I'm sorry, I'm going to quote somebody that said, you would be soup. Or never found again, or maybe hung, or, you know, whatever, if you were that disrespectful to their flag and their anthem. So why don't you walk in their shoes for a second, whether you're a policeman, fireman, army, navy, marine, national guard, air force, whatever, serving our country, or have served our country. Get in their shoes for a second. Get on a C-130 and fly overseas to another country and see how you're greeted when you get off that plane to military, you know, guns flying at you and shooting. And I've been around the world when I was younger. You know, I've been to several different countries. And I tell you what, after spending 8 months in Europe, we kissed the ground when we got off that plane because there's nothing like it. Nothing.
And on that note, I want to say thank you for being on Standing Freedom.
Anytime.
You can tune in to KGID to find out more about our next broadcast in December. Again, I want to thank those who are supporting the show, Standing Freedom, and to my special sponsor, Kimber Eastwood. And of course, I want to thank KGID for being the first to broadcast Standing Freedom on the FM. I like to end every show with scripture, and today's is John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's from the NIV version. And if you're looking for a church home, remember to check out the Giddings First United Methodist Church. You can find out more information on the internet and yes, even Facebook. If you have any inquiries about Standing Freedom, you can reach out at standing.freedom@gmail.com. That's standing.freedom@gmail.com. If you'd like to air a commercial, want to make a commercial, please give us an email at standing.freedom@gmail.com. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to gigiernetta.com. That's gigiernetta.com. And of course, standingfreedom.com, the website, has more about the shows. And now my musical guest, Kevin Swink. You can find him on social media and on his website, songsforthebrave.com. He'll be on Standing Freedom next month. And now his song, Thank You.
Land of the free, stripes, their lives they gave to all the men and women through the history of time. Thank you for giving your life to save mine. Red, white, and blue, waves free in the sky, united we stand, united we die. To all who's gone before me and the ones in the sand, thank you for giving your life to save this man. Fight for the rights of the nation, go where they tell you to go, defending the honor of freedom. What you go and present, showing their bravery. Thank you for giving your life country. Thank you for giving your life for people.